He's outgoing. She's not. She prefers a beach vacation. He wants to go camping. He enjoys home-cooked food. She likes to go out to eat.
How did they get married? And why do opposites attract? We'll talk about this today on Real Family Talk. Our first question today is from a husband who says, I like to entertain and have friends over to our house, but my wife of 20 years doesn't like to do this. It has become an issue and cause for reoccurring disagreements in our relationship. What can I do? Well, this is not an unusual situation, is it?
That is not unusual at all. It seems as if opposites seem to attract before marriage.
Yes.
And unfortunately, after marriage, they repel.
Opposites repel.
Yeah. So this is not unusual. Even in those situations where couples have a lot in common before marriage, one of the things we often say is that's because they don't talk about what they don't have in common before marriage. It's not until after marriage that they really begin to find out more about each other.
In fact, I would say that even for couples who've done premarital education, they don't always listen to what's going on in premarital because they know they love each other. They know they're going to get married. And yeah, they listen to some stuff and do some stuff. But after marriage, that's when the real stuff hits the fan. And they recognize that indeed, some of the things they didn't talk about all of a sudden are coming to the surface. Because you cannot get away in marriage. You're occupying the same space, and that's where the rubber hits the road.
And isn't it funny that when we ask people if they perceive there are any differences, you know, like a simple question like, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? And then they'll both say, oh, we both love vanilla, or we both love chocolate, you know. And
really, we have so much in common.
We have so much in common.
But that's all we talk about.
Right.
But the reality is, when couples get to this place, and you've been married for 20 years, the person who asked the question, that means there's a lot of good stuff in your marriage. Every marriage has a lot of good stuff. And every marriage has some stuff that's not so good. This is a time to explore what attracted you to your wife when you first met. She likely still has those qualities
too. Yeah, absolutely. So what couples need to learn to do is to go back to the things that attracted them. Because when things like this begin to happen, when you encounter the situation that this man is speaking about, and again, I often say it could be the wife that's complaining. About what's happening in the relationship, they forget the good of the relationship. So they need to explore what is good about the relationship and what is good about the other person. You know, it's not all or nothing. It's not all of her. It's just a part of her. It's just this part. She doesn't like to go out as much as he does.
Yeah. I like the fact that you raise that issue, a part of me. And this is something we like to teach couples. It's a skill. And when you're thinking about your spouse in terms of thinking about all the things that you don't like, think about the fact that just a part of you may be concerned about certain things, but the other part of you really loves these other parts about her.
Yeah.
So it's just a way to balance out the realities of marriage and the fact that there are no perfect marriages because there are no perfect people. So you didn't marry a perfect person. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for accommodation. We're looking for commitment. We're looking for making the best of a situation where we have two imperfect human beings together in a very tight spot.
Right. And so couples need to recognize that in every marriage, even good marriages, even great marriages, I would dare say, there are going to be differences. And this is a great opportunity for them to understand better each other.
Yes.
You know, they get to know something more about each other and learn how to negotiate those differences. So every time there is a challenge in our relationship, it's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity for us to learn to be more like Jesus. And this is where we say Christian marriage is supposed to be different
than the other
marriages. Than the other marriages.
Yes.
Right? Because we have an opportunity every day to exemplify, to be more like Christ, to reflect God's character, to see the beauty of the other person that we're with.
And you know what happens is that if you're in a Christian marriage, that you don't have to only depend on your own skills. You can depend on God. In fact, He's promised to be there always. So to give you patience, to make you kind, to help you to be considerate. Have a calm conversation about what is important to both of you and what you both can live with and cannot live with. So we're looking for accommodation.
Yes, yes. And then we need to seek ways to bridge our differences rather than building a wall. Every opportunity is an opportunity for us to grow closer, to grow more intimate, to tear down those things that are going to create barriers between us. So
you said it a little while ago that, and I want to highlight it, every crisis in marriage is an opportunity for growth. Because it's a crisis, look at it carefully and calmly and come together and begin to brainstorm what you can do to make this better. Anything goes. Write it down. Get a piece of paper. Write down the brainstorms. How can you address this? And try them out one at a time until you can arrive at a place where you're both content with the decision that you've made.
The whole idea is brainstorming. Brainstorming assumes that we're working together, right? We're on the same team. So we can learn how to work together, just like we do in any other situation.
And we need to go for a win-win. Too often in marriage, you know, people are thinking, well, I want to win. And the other person is thinking, I want to win. And the truth is, when you're married, you want the marriage to win. Not the husband, not the wife. You want the marriage to win. And for that, we need to go for a win-win.
Right. All right. So next, we're going to hear from a wife who is frustrated just 1 year into marriage. We'll find out why after this short break. Stay with us.
Our next question is from Veronica, a new wife who's getting quite frustrated just 1 year into marriage. She says, my husband and I are very different. I like to vacation at the beach while he likes camping in the mountains. He's a big meat eater and I'm a vegetarian. He loves to watch television and I like to read. He's very outgoing and I'm quite an introvert. After 1 year of marriage, I feel worn out. Not sure I want to spend another year in this very difficult relationship. I welcome your advice.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I think this is the wife of the man who asked the first question.
Probably.
But she's definitely my kind of girl. She likes the beach.
And while we're laughing, somebody's not laughing.
I know.
The reality is, this is so common, what we've just heard. You know, but how do these people get married? You know,
what did they talk about?
What did they do when they were dating? Did someone fake that they like going to the beach? Did someone fake that they like the same things as the other individual?
Well, just very quickly, you know, I think we should say that what happens too often is that when people are dating, I'll use the sports example. There are a lot of women who like sports, mm-hmm. but there are many women who don't like sports. But they pretend while they're
like.
Dating someone that they love sports. And so the guy says, I'm going to watch football all Sunday afternoon. And she says, okay,
I'll watch it with you.
Yes. You know, and then they get married and she is not, and she didn't realize that football was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
No, that's not the football schedule. But you're just going a little bit overboard.
Well, there's basketball, there's baseball, there's hockey, you know.
And she didn't realize he was so obsessive when it came to sports.
Right.
And she'd do it for a little bit, but this is going to be for the rest of my life. And she checks out. And that happens all the time. And then he goes, what happened? What happened to the woman I married? What happened to this woman who just every time I wanted to watch football, she was there with me. All of a sudden, you can't find her.
Yeah. So, you know, she's frustrated. It sounds like they're totally opposite. Here's what I would say real quickly. Part of the problem is that marriage is difficult.
Yes.
And we talk about the stages of marriage, right? So you have that honeymoon stage where nothing can go wrong. Oh, our love will never fail. Oh, we're never going to be like the other people. And then you get to that next phase, probably about 4, 5, 6 months, maybe a year.
Sometimes 4 weeks.
Into marriage, where it's like, what was I thinking?
What was I thinking?
And it sounds like that's where she is right now. And so the first thing we want to say is that this is perfectly normal. Veronica, I think her name is.
It's
perfectly normal. And your marriage is not over. And now you guys just have to learn how to accommodate each other's needs and each other's likes and dislikes.
And I would say you have lots of company. The majority of the other couples that got married when you got married are going through some of the same stuff, you know, because that's what happens. Opposites attract. And in marriage, opposites repel. So the premarital euphoria makes couples feel like their love can conquer any obstacle. But that high isn't sustainable when confronted by the realities of daily life. The truth is, people get into real life and all of a sudden they want to do what they like. And they don't necessarily want to compromise. Yes.
Right. And compromise is difficult because we each go into relationship thinking about what we can get rather than what we can give.
And the truth is, marriage only works when you think in terms of what can I give rather than what can I get. When you're trying to see the other person's point of view rather than just your own. So to address this, change your self-talk, you know, ask yourself different questions. Tell yourself you want to do different things. Remind yourself of all the reasons you fell in love with your spouse. As long as they're not based on moral or legal standards, choose to live with and manage your differences. Differences are here to stay. In fact, that is the big deal in marriage, managing differences. Today it might be something, tomorrow it might be something else, and we go in stages, as Elaine was just saying. First stage, you can't get enough of each other. And then second stage, what was I thinking? You remember the third stage?
Third stage is if only he would change.
Yes, if only she would change.
Now, if you change.
If you change, we would have a great marriage.
Absolutely.
This is what people always think. Number four, you remember that?
Number four is...
That's how he is. That's how she is. You know, you come to grips with the fact that nobody is perfect, and we're different individuals, and that's how she is. That's how I am. But I love her. I love him. And together you try to work it out because you're committed to marriage. You're committed to each other. You're committed to giving honor and glory to God. If you're a Christian, if you're a person of faith, you're representing God. And if you're representing God, you want to do everything in your marriage to honor him. So people know that you're truly disciples of Jesus Christ.
You know, I think this is a good place to talk about that a little bit more, being more like Christ. And the whole notion of marriage not being for us, that marriage really is a God thing. and that God is giving us the opportunity to reflect Him, to reflect His glory. And one of the things we often say to our couples when we do premarital counseling or premarital education is that if you're not ready to be God-like,
don't get married.
Don't get married.
Because marriage is not to make you happy. Marriage is to make you holy, to make you more like God. I also like to say, we also like to say, marriage is not to make you happy. Marriage is to make you married. Only Jesus can make you happy. If you're happy in Jesus, your spouse is happy in Jesus, you come together, you have happiness square. But marriage is to make you married. Everything else that happens are choices that you have to make every day. And every day you wake up, you've got to make that choice. What kind of husband am I going to be today? What kind of wife am I going to be today? Am I going to be giving or am I going to be getting? Is my focus on what I can give or is my focus on what I can get? Only when our focus is about what we can give will we have the kind of marriage that's worth its weight in gold.
I love that. I love that. Next, we'll meet a couple who say they are opposites, but 12 years into marriage, they are enjoying life together. We'll find out how they manage their differences right after the break.
How do today's couples handle money? We ask our friends on Facebook if they share or have separate bank accounts, and here's what they said. Joint bank accounts, 90.5% of the respondents. 9.5% separate bank accounts. In addition, studies show that many couples have a mix of both joint and separate accounts. Well, what do you think about that, Elaine?
I think our viewers are doing great. Maybe they've been watching our previous shows on our thought about bank accounts. I think it's a great idea to have a joint account. And I think it's good that each person also have their own account that's for discretionary spending so that no one feels that they're being parented or boxed in.
Yeah.
So that's a great idea. But I think every couple should have a joint account because when you're married, you become an us. And you should share even in your finances.
What we do know, and the literature bears this out, the more things you do together, the more things you have in common, the more things you do as an us, the stronger your bond is going to be. And the more you'll feel like you're a part of the same family. We're now joined by Andre and Latasha Hewitt. Andre is a licensed professional counselor. Latasha is a corporate communication director. They say they are opposites who are enjoying married life together. Welcome, Andre and Latasha.
Thank you both very much.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hello.
We're delighted that you've come by. And so the first question I pose to you is, how are you alike?
Oh, okay. Well, we're both Seventh-day Adventist Christians. We went to the same college, Oakwood College. Mm-hmm. We both like to travel, shop. Can I say that?
More so you now.
You both like the beach, I hear.
Yes, we do like the beach. Like,
you know, I'm confused. I thought this was a show about opposites attract.
Oh, we have
we thought so
of those
too.
Differences.
Yeah.
So let's
ask.
Let's
all right. How are you opposite?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm American born, In Virginia.
I'm Jamaican, born in Jamaica.
Okay, that's a big difference.
It is. Uh-huh. A lot of cultural differences.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm a vegetarian, been one all my life.
Meat eater.
Curry goat.
Oh, there you go.
Oxtail.
There you go. High five.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we have different styles of communication, different ways that sometimes we view money. We pretty much agree on parenting, but sometimes we have different approaches based on our experience. You know, my parents, you know, I grew up in a two-parent household. He did not, or only for a short time. So, you know, there's some differences that we see from time to time based on that background growing up. But
okay.
So how do you work through your differences?
Well, one thing I've told myself is that it's very important to let my wife be herself. It's important to let her be the individual that she is. Just for example, if I believe that the baby's diaper should go on one way and she does the other, that's okay. Let her do it her way. She's getting the job done. You know, so that's helping.
So that's clear in your mind.
Right.
That there are certain things that you allow her to do.
Yes.
And you don't interfere.
Yes.
Even if you disagree, you let it go.
Right.
It's
right.
Small stuff.
Right.
So you're not sweating the small stuff.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And
exactly.
What I hear is that it's all small stuff.
Pretty much.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, we kill ourselves in marriage and destroy our marriages over the smallest,
that's so true,
insignificant item.
That's so true.
And more marriages will do better if they gave it the importance that it really needs to have.
Yeah.
And that is, it's not that important.
Yeah, yeah. That's so true. That is so true.
Yeah, so what would you say?
Well, I try to look at it as an opportunity to see things in a different way. You know, I've known myself my whole life. I know how I do things. So to have a husband who offers a different approach, it allows me the opportunity to maybe consider some things I never thought about before, or another way of changing the diaper, or another way of taking out the trash or cleaning the kitchen. Yeah. So I try not to look at it as him doing something differently than I am, but more so him teaching me a new way to do something that I've always done.
So what I'm hearing you say is, instead of looking at it as a glass half empty, you're looking at it as a glass half full.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's an amazing approach that you both have. I'm sitting here thinking, who are these people? Because that's exactly what needs to be done in every marriage. Yeah. Because every marriage is going to have differences.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And if even if you're brother and sister and you grew up in the same home, you're going to have differences living together. I mean, hence why we have siblings still arguing with each other, a sibling rivalry.
As adults.
Right. Yes. No, that's
as families still arguing.
As adults. So looking at it as an opportunity to see something differently. But were you guys always like this?
I'm happy you said that because, or asked that question because I was going to say that this, it took time, it took work, it took being very deliberate in thinking that, okay, Latasha is who she is, I am who I am, let me give her space to be herself and she'll give me my space to be myself. It was a process over time. Had to keep working at it to get there.
I believe that we're still working on it. It's not something that instinctually just happens. You have to like take a moment and think about, one, how you're feeling, because sometimes it's like, no, this is the right way to change the diaper.
Yeah.
But then you take a moment and say, really, you know, it's really not a big deal. And the job gets done and you move forward. You don't linger on it that long.
Mm-hmm. So I follow up. You're a counselor.
Correct.
How long have you been a counselor?
Going on 8-9 years now.
Okay, so the first 3 years of your marriage, you were in grad school.
Correct.
Or something.
Yes. Yes.
So I guess you were putting into practice the skills that you were learning as a counselor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that has come in handy for your marriage.
That was actually a big mistake.
It was a big mistake, What was a big mistake?
Yes. So. Yeah.
You mean being married and going to grad school?
Putting into practice.
Yes. Oh.
Making my wife my client.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Big mistake, yes. Mm-hmm. And she would always tell me, too, babe, I'm not your client, okay? Yes. don't talk to me about feelings or
whatever. Don't try to diagnose me.
Exactly. So I had to put the brakes on that and rearrange my thinking again. She is who she is. I am who I am.
Right, because in your head you're thinking, I have a diagnosis for you.
Right. There
you
go.
And it's so true. I did. I really, really did.
And of course, always we think, well, we're not the ones with the problem.
Right.
Clearly it's the other person.
Right, that's so
and,
true.
And I'm studying counseling. And
okay.
And I know how to teach. No, I'm saying that's a question. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
That's your self-talk.
Right.
I can teach you how to be a better person.
Exactly. Yes.
When really what we're saying is I'm teaching you how to be more like me.
Right.
Right? And that's a huge issue
in
relationships where we're really just trying to turn the other person into ourselves.
Yes.
And what I heard you say is you're saying, you know, I'm changing the diaper and I know this is the right way. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, but there's another way.
Yes.
There's no one way.
Right.
And what we often say to couples is, you know what, as long as the diaper gets changed, you know what, and let's say it's done the wrong way, whatever that is.
What's the worst
and
that can
happen? What's the worst that can happen?
Right.
You know,
don't stuff. Don't the small stuff.
Yeah, yeah, stuff falls on the floor. Okay. I mean, so
you
we change
it up,
the
right?
diaper.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we pick it up. You know, unless the kid is going to get, like,
gangrene
or something.
Right. That's,
you know, and lose a limb.
Right. Right.
You know, then you might have to, like, say this is not the right way. So that's really wonderful that you're talking about the fact that it's a work in process,
you know,
that you're going to be going through this for the rest of your life.
Yes.
So what would you say to other couples who I'm sure you have friends who you see struggling with this managing of differences and feeling that their marriage is at the end, you know, or it's just so different that they can't go on? What would you say to them?
I'd say first and foremost, and this might sound
cliche.
Thank you. Yeah, like
academic.
Prayer. Start there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Prayer together. Prayer individually. Prayer with the kids if they're there. Start there. And I'd also counsel being open as far as talking about expectations, differences, hurts. Just being open about actually expressing to your partner exactly what you're looking for, what you're not getting, why, and being willing to accept the fact that I can't make you happy. You can't make me happy, right? This thing really is about God.
And only God can make you happy.
Amen.
Because,
right there.
Because this is the kind of business we're in.
Exactly.
The kind of business that only God can make.
Only God. Only God.
Thanks for watching today. And thank you, Andre and Latasha, for joining us.
That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. Meanwhile, to watch more of Real Family Talk, please visit our website at hopetv.org/Real Family Talk.